You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Welcome back to the Random Theory Podcast. I'm Grace.
And I'm Josh.
And together we discover and answer curious questions in the world.
Indeed we do. Indeed we do.
Oh, what a joyous season, you know.
What a time.
Today is my birthday, by the way, when this comes out.
When it comes out, yeah. Because this is on the 4th? Is that your birthday?
Yes. Yep. December 4th. Today is my birthday in the podcast world.
If you're listening to this, the day it comes out, happy birthday to Grace.
Yay. I love that I like hype myself up for my birthday. It wasn't you being like, it's your birthday. I was just like, it's my birthday.
I will say, watchers of the podcast, you can see a split second moment in my eyes when Grace said that because I knew her birthday was on the 4th. Because we share, my birthday is September 4th. And so yeah. I knew that. But when you said that, I had that fear of like, oh, wait.
Oh, shoot. Did I get it wrong? Today her birthday?
Yeah. I was like, what? No, wait.
No, December 4th is my birthday. I'm a whole 26 years old.
26.
Yeah. The big 26. Huge numbers we're putting up this year.
We're putting up big numbers. You know, I put up 27 this year, so.
Dang, we're really coming in hot. Who are we?
Yeah, we're really just cruising towards that big 3-0.
Cruising. I'm excited to turn 30. We've talked about this, but yeah, I'm ready to be like 30 in my 30s. I don't know.
That's always like the big, everyone's always like, oh, big 3-0. Like,
yeah.
Blah, blah. I'm like, whatever.
Okay. Yeah. I totally feel that. Shall we hop into some ratings and reviews? I'm excited. Today we're going to be doing something a little different. We got super excited. The Spotify Wrapped came out. And if anyone doesn't know what that is, basically Spotify sends out like what you listen to, but they also do it for podcasts. So we got to see some stats from our Spotify world and listeners. And holy crap, Spotify is coming through with the Random Theory Science Pals. It's crazy.
Yeah. I like, first of all, if you don't know what Spotify Wrapped is, you must not be going on social media.
It's so obnoxious.
Everyone and their dog is posting about
literally. Word. Also, Jordy is here. So if you see the random paw.
Oh, right on.
In the shot, if you watch this on YouTube, it would just be Jordy. I wish YouTube would do something like that. I think that would be kind of cool.
A YouTube Wrapped?
Yeah, for like fans.
That
or
would
like
be fun.
How many minutes you watch this year or whatever. I don't know.
That's too much funny. For YouTube. But yeah, I didn't know that there was a Spotify Wrapped for podcasts, and I was literally just like logging in right before we started recording to just pull up a thing, and then it popped up and was like, oh, here's your Wrapped. So I went through it.
Sick.
And there's some incredible stats here we did not expect. But before I say that, I have to say Spotify, fix your graphics because it looks like trash.
They look really bad. The Wrapped looks really bad this year. It looks like a last minute job that they did on the graphics.
I am so sorry if this somehow reaches someone at Spotify that worked hard on this, but like, holy crap, it looks like somebody drew the graphics in paint. It's really just,
it looks like a last minute rush job, in my opinion.
It really does. Yeah. But the important thing is we found out that we are in the top 10 podcasts for 1,972 fans.
Which is crazy.
We are top 5 podcasts for 1,282 fans.
It's insane. Insane.
That right there, I'm like, whoa, what? But then the real kicker.
It gets better.
Top podcast, number one, the big one, for 351 fans on only, this is just Spotify.
Just Spotify.
And we already clarified before we started recording, none of our family uses Spotify to listen to our podcast, so it ain't them.
I just feel so honored, honestly.
That's 351 that we are their number one.
I mean, it's amazing.
You people out there listening, you're probably listening right now. If we're your number one podcast, you're probably listening right now.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening, because holy crap, I did not know we had such a thing going on.
I didn't either. I love it though. I'm here for it.
Me too. Me too. I guess that's the thing.
I wish I could give all 300 people a hat.
Dude, the hat search is not going well.
It's not.
So I did live update. Grace doesn't know this yet. I did hear about my band hats, because we had talked about the same thing. And the price was not really that great. I thought it was really good, and it ended up not being that great.
The hat search continues. I would honestly, like, if we have a science pal that knows how to embroider or has an embroidery machine, I would straight up, like, have them do them for the science pals. We just want a run of, like, 25 to 30 hats. Like, super exclusive. So if we have a science pal out there, like, we would obviously pay you for the hats and the time. But we're just trying to figure it out still. We haven't figured it out how we're going to get you guys hats that aren't going to cost you an arm and leg.
That's the problem. It's like we could get them, no problem. It's just everything we've seen would cost so much money.
They'd end up being like $30-$35 hats. Which, if like y'all are cool with that, let us know.
That's a great point. Yeah, I guess if you're fine with that, we'll pull the trigger on it and just let it rip. But
if we get 20 people that say I'll pay $35 for a hat, send us an email at randomtheorypod@gmail.com. And we'll just start keeping a tally. Put in the subject hats.
Yeah.
If you want one, and you would pay $30-$35 for a hat.
Here's something. There was the final facts on the Wrapped. We also briefly, and I remember this, I have a screenshot on my phone because it was so cool.
Oh.
We briefly peaked on the podcast charts on Spotify.
Where?
We were on the science charts, top science. And we peaked at number 22.
Was that with the ASMR podcast?
I think it was. Yeah. Okay. It popped off. It was like a week. We just had like a heck of a run.
We're here for it.
We were passing up like Bill Nye and NPR and stuff. It was great.
We felt really cool.
We did. For a brief moment, felt really cool.
The science pals are the best.
They are the best. And that is, I don't know if there's, I haven't opened up the Apple podcast backend. Yeah. I doubt there's an equivalent for that.
I think they tried to do something one year and it just was kind of a flop.
Well, I know there's one for music. There's an Apple Music one, but I don't, I'm not sure about pods, if there's a pod thing. So
I would love
all
for
our
that
Apple Music listeners or Apple podcast listeners, we love you too.
We do. Anyone that watches anywhere, we appreciate you too. Speaking of podcast on Apple Pod, that is where our listener curiosity is coming from today.
Ooh, okay.
This is actually really interesting, and I love this name. Today's curiosity comes from Redneck Oklahoman.
I mean, I know what the podcast is about, and that is quite the name for it.
It is such a name. Redneck Oklahoman wants to know. Well, actually, it's a rating and review. They put the title as podcast or pod idea and joke. Gave us 5 stars. Okay. Appreciate you. And they said, you should do a pod on the science behind firearms and or ballistic armor. And then they have a joke. I love that we started this joke thing.
When we started it, my goal was I wanted new people to come to our podcast. Like if they, you know, they look it up on Apple Pod, they come there and they start reading the ratings and reviews to see if it's good, and just to have them basically be confused of like, why are there jokes?
If you know, you know, basically.
And that, yeah, it's like we've totally achieved that. Like every rating review pretty much has like a joke in it, which is
fantastic. I love it. I think it's so fantastic. At first, I wasn't on board. I was like, okay, this is weird, but we'll roll with it. But I love it now. All right, Josh, you ready?
Yeah. Hit me with it.
All right. So two wrongs don't make a right, but what did two rights make?
What?
An airplane. Get it? Like the Wright brothers?
The Wright brothers.
Two rights.
That's good. I like that a lot, actually.
That was clever. A good one.
I feel like we had one of these a couple weeks ago where it doesn't quite work when you write it down because you could you might see the spelling or whatever and that would throw you off. But yeah, verbally, you know, just telling someone that's gold right there.
I love it. I love that we're arming people not only with knowledge, but with jokes.
With some sweet dad jokes. Yeah.
Yes. Get it? Arming people, because we're going to talk about armor. Anyway, we're going to jump into armor and firearms and how they all work together right after this break.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies, count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We're back!
Pew, 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 pew!
Pew, 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 pew!
Oh my gosh. Okay, so there's our brain cells. Our one brain cells are currently...
You know.
I don't know what's happening. It's my birthday podcast. Ooh. I can do what I want. So,
is that a song? I think that's a song.
I think it is too. Okay, so there's a display at the Met Museum, and it's all about armor. Michael and I spent 3 hours reading and looking at armor from all around the world. If you are in New York City, I highly recommend you go to the Met Museum. There is a whole display of armor, weapons, firearms. Am I allowed to say guns?
Hard to say.
And literally, I kid you not, it was the coolest thing I've ever seen. Like, I'm not someone that's really into like firearms and stuff, but it was so cool to look at this and just like how stuff has progressed. There were like jousting weapons and little like secret knives that people would used to have. There's like Western stuff. There was stuff from like when there were like knights in shining armor. There was stuff from like the Mongol Empire. I think that was a thing, but it was seriously so cool, like to see all of the different armor from around the world. Yeah. So when I saw this podcast idea from Redneck Oklahoman, I was all about it. I was like, this is so cool. I'm on board. Let's go. I think what's really interesting is the precise origin of firearms is actually unknown.
Really?
So no one knows who made the first gun. But they were in use by the early 14th century and were commonplace in Europe by the mid-century. So these early firearms were nothing more than large caliber cylinders of wrought iron and cast bronze, closed at the end and loaded by placing gunpowder and projectiles in the muzzle or the open end.
Okay.
This to me just feels so anticlimactic and disorganized.
It's essentially, I mean, that's what it would, it's just like a tube that you put an explosive in one end and don't cap it off, you know, like you don't cap it so that it can shoot out.
Literally giving it one direction to go. Thankfully, nowadays, firearms are a little bit more sophisticated. However, the physics behind how firearms fire remains the exact same. So weapons like a cannon, a shotgun, a rifle work on the basic idea of the conservation of momentum and the change in energy from potential to kinetic, which is super interesting and also like very much applies to anything that anyone can think of. So when that trigger is pulled, there's a hammer that hits a firing pin. So this is in the back of the firearm. And that firing pin then hits the primer, which causes the powder to burn, hence, you know, producing all the gases and the smoke that you see. And this causes the volume behind the bullet to fill with extremely high pressurized gas. So whatever doesn't escape is what is like in the chamber that causes it to pop out. And the gas pushes on every surface it encounters, including the bullet in front of it and at the base of the gun barrel behind it, which is why sometimes you get a kick.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense, actually. I hadn't really thought about it, but yeah, that makes sense.
So like you have this high pressured gas that's pushing and trying to get out because it needs to get out so that everything can equalize. So when gas escapes, you get a kick from it.
Firearms are obviously more sophisticated now with all the... basically, like, for the lack of a better term, all the bells and whistles around it.
Yeah.
But the way the science of why of what is actually happening hasn't really changed.
Like, no.
It's still a tube with an explosive in the end of it that is shooting it out another the other end.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
So that increase in pressure caused by the gases causes the bullet to be forced into the barrel, hence causing the bullet to come out of the muzzle at a very high speed. And then once a bullet is fired, it remains in motion from its momentum, and that momentum will carry the bullet until it strikes an object or gravity pulls the bullet towards the earth.
Right.
At the museum, you could look down the barrel of these because they're behind glass and it's safe to do. Please don't do that with firearms on a regular basis. But it was very interesting to see, like, really when science got involved in adjusting how straight a bullet can fly. So back in the good old times, barrels were literally just circles on the inside. And then science said, well, how do we make it fly perfectly straight every single time and, like, reduce the error of a firearm? And what they did was they made it so that the bullet sits in an area, and as it comes out inside the barrel, it spirals. And so as the bullet flies out, the bullet spirals through the air, which reduces its air pressure. I think it's the air pressure. It basically can cut through the air better. So it's not getting deflected.
I think that's called rifling. I feel I've heard that. But basically, if you look down the barrel of an unloaded
gun,
safe unloaded firearm, more often than not, there'll be kind of a spiral pattern cut into the metal inside of it,
which is so interesting.
And that basically, like, spins the barrel spins the bullet.
Could you imagine
the whole barrel just like this?
Oh my gosh.
But it spins the bullet as it comes out, and I think what it is it that allows it to cut through air more efficiently.
I think also, isn't it the longer the barrel, the better accuracy?
I think so as well.
I think so. I'm not sure.
Because the barrel is the thing that basically sets up the bullet for its trajectory. And so if you have less of that thing, Yeah, like if you just think about if that's a slide and then after that slide is just a free fall, well, the longer the slide, the more on a set trajectory you'll be.
Yeah.
I guess.
It's so fascinating to think about, like, the science behind firearms and like what they do. I don't know. I just have always found it very fascinating because I think when firing a weapon safely, there is so much there between like the human interaction, but also the science of how it works, but also the science of humans, because you want the firearm to fire straight, but you also have to factor in human error. And so I think it's a very interesting connection between human and machine, and a machine can be perfect, but a human cannot. So it's like, how do you make this machine as precise as it can be with a person using it? And so I think it's very, very fascinating and interesting in that regard. So,
yeah, I think that is a great point of like, it is kind of this mix of human and machine coming together. The base science hasn't really changed. It's just all these like iterations to make it that much better, to overcome that like human error, basically. Mm-hmm.
The firearm actually changed potential chemical energy into kinetic energy in the actual firing of the firearm. So many people do not realize that the force imparted by accelerating the bullet is not the only force acting on a gun or the shooter. Grains of burnt gunpowder are sent out of the muzzle at high velocity. So when that trigger is pulled, the hammer strikes a small charge at the end of the shell, and then the ammunition.
Literally like a small explosive charge sitting behind the bullet.
Yeah.
And when that's struck, it explodes, basically, on a small scale. Mm-hmm. And that's what is acting on the bullet, but also you.
Which is so wild.
It is one of those things. I mean, I like mentioned a million times, like it's so simple when you think about it. Like there's nothing super, there's no complex, crazy whatever science going on necessarily. It's pretty simple, obviously highly effective. Like it works, you know?
And I mean, we could get way deeper into how this is, but like that's, we just gave you the basic breakdown of firearms and how they fire, because I mean, we could get into all the nitty gritty details, but I would rather talk about bulletproof vest and armor.
Ooh.
Because this is fascinating.
Yeah.
Like I was doing some research and it was so interesting. My FBI agent has to be like, Grace, what you doing?
I mean, at this point, you know, we probably have like a team.
Yeah.
We've got like a small team that's working on us.
Yeah. I'm definitely on some kind of watch list. Just for like the research and working for T-Corps. But over the past few decades, bulletproof vests have become a crucial piece of equipment for law enforcement officials, military personnel, and security guards. From the early woven silk vests that were used to stop arrows to the modern ballistic vests that can now stop high velocity projectiles and absorb immense amount of energy, the technology and science behind ballistic armor has actually come a very long way.
Mm.
So the first modern body armor was actually invented by a Polish-born inventor named Kazimierz Zegelin in 1897. So Zegelin's design, I know, it's not that long ago.
That is less time than I thought, for sure.
Yeah. Zegelin's design was a soft and flexible vest that was made from layers of silk that could be worn under clothing. And silk fibers were strong enough to stop a bullet without breaking, but they were also lightweight and breathable. That is insane to me.
Silk.
Layers of silk could stop a bullet.
How luxurious.
I know, right?
That is unexpected. The only thing that is literally all I know of silk is like, oh, it's so fancy and like, you know, like a silk robe or whatever. Would not have expected it to be a key ingredient in old bulletproof vests.
It's insane. But the main purpose of a ballistic vest is to prevent or minimize the penetration of bullets and to prevent excessive deformation of the panel on the body side. So it achieves this by stopping or so-called mushrooming the bullet and absorbing or dispensing the kinetic energy it delivers along the fibers.
It catches the bullet and then tries to spread out the impact over the entire, over like the entire vest at once.
Which is so wild.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It, I feel like it kind of works similar to how a car windshield is supposed to work when.
Oh, yeah.
For anyone that doesn't know, inside a car windshield, there's basically like a layer of, I don't know, I'm going to use plastic, but it, I don't know exactly what it is.
I think it is plastic. It's like a type of plastic.
It's like a, yeah, it's like a type of plastic. But basically what's supposed to happen is when something strikes your windshield, you don't want, you know, you don't want it to just shatter and go through and then hit you. It has this plastic in it that basically catches it and just shatters the entire windshield to spread out that impact to hopefully prevent it from going through. And so that's basically what these are doing as well.
If you guys have the chance, I definitely think it's worth like looking at a video of what it looks like when a bullet mushrooms, because it is so interesting to watch in slow motion.
Yeah.
Because it, like Josh talked about, it disperses the kinetic energy it delivers along the fibers. So when a bullet strikes the panel, that energy is absorbed by the fibers and they stretch and twist and then disperse the bullet's energy over a large area, preventing penetration. I just think that's so, that is like just so crazy.
I think it's crazy that that was done with silk. I mean, obviously, you know, different levels of firearm compared to the modern day.
Right.
But still, I mean,
but still, think about how many lives that saved.
True. Very good
way point. Back when. Yeah. So fascinating. I think it is so important to remember that even though the bullet may not penetrate your body, when you're wearing a ballistic vest, you will still feel the impact.
Yeah.
Like that energy is still gonna like travel through your body. The only thing it's protecting is like, yes, the only thing it's like protecting is the bullet not going into your body and causing bleeding. But you're still going to feel like that high energy caliber in your body. It's been known to break people's ribs from the sheer impact of the force, even though it doesn't penetrate the vest.
I saw a video once upon a time on the internet.
Once upon a time.
That was a soldier in somewhere, you know, I don't know, Middle East somewhere, getting shot by a very high caliber, like long range something, you know, like a sniper rifle type, something like that. And I think he was wearing heavier, where they put like a literal plate in the body armor. It's like body armor.
Yeah, it's a Kevlar.
And he was shot by one of these. He was fine, but it literally like blew him off of his feet. Like he was on the ground because of the impact.
Insane.
Like it was, you know, obviously saved his life because it didn't penetrate, but he still very much felt that impact.
I can't even imagine what that would feel like hitting your body.
I mean, clearly like knock you on your feet, take the breath out of you, some heavy bruising at least. And then like you said, maybe some broken ribs or something, depending on where the impact is. But
at least you're not bleeding.
I mean, at the very least, at least a bullet didn't go through you and you're like gonna
die. rip apart your intestines. So to be more accurate, I feel like a bulletproof vest is kind of like when you say your rain jacket is waterproof, but in reality it's not. It's water resistant. Because if you're in a torrential downpour, it's not like your rain jacket isn't going to hold up. It's going to get wet eventually, unless you have one that is weather or like waterproof. But a majority of the time, if you look at the tag on the inside, it'll say something along the lines of like, this is more water resistant than waterproof. Same thing with these. They're meant to be bullet resistant, meaning they can stop a bullet from penetrating the wearer's body, but no vest can provide 100% protection against all types of bullets.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Like, it's like, I was going to say, I mean, you mentioned like a rain jacket, but like also your phone. Newer phones are technically, they are water resistant up to a certain depth of water. Whereas, same with like a bulletproof vest. It's resistant up to a certain level of firearm bullet or like, you know, certain caliber or a certain whatever.
The most recognized material used for making soft body armor is known as Kevlar. And Kevlar is a lightweight fiber that is 5 times stronger than steel fiber.
Wild.
Isn't that crazy? So when Kevlar fibers are interlaced and layered, they can also absorb a lot of energy and force, which is crazy. I actually got to wear Kevlar when I was training with the military. We had to wear the plates inside the vests.
Oh, and yeah.
They're like bulletproof, resistant, really, plates. And those suckers are heavy, but they go in Kevlar. Like Kevlar is over the front of them, like that material.
Right.
It is super lightweight. Okay.
But then you're loading it down with like heavy plates.
Yeah, these like plates that protect your like vital organs like sit inside. Yeah. So it's like a little bit of double protection.
For anyone that doesn't know, clarify what when you all you said was you were trading with the military. What did
you
do?
Oh, sorry. I train. Yeah. So last year I was invited to train with the Marines. And so I spent a week. I think it was like a week.
Yeah.
At like Camp Lejeune. Yeah. Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. And we basically wore camis. We ate MREs. And I basically ran training exercise with them, and we had to wear camis, we had to wear a Kevlar, we had to wear helmets, we had to wear everything. We had like the military boots, all the stuff. And so we trained with them for a week, which was very interesting and eye-opening. Was not in the military, but that's my adventure with that.
There's a video on the T-Core YouTube channel if you want to see Grace training with the Marines.
I almost like literally died. It was the hardest and most challenging thing I've ever done in my life.
It looked hard. I will say that. It looked very I was luckily not. I got to sit on my butt and edit the video, which was also one of the hardest edits. Yeah, that was it was just front to back, that one, you know, right? Like from the beginning to the end, that one was quite difficult.
It was a toughie. Shoo. But yeah, that's a great video if you want to go watch it. Very life-changing for me and Josh. video. It was so bad. It was such a tough edit. We can laugh about it now. But I also won, by the way. I beat all the other teams. She so, did. Haha. Yeah, spoiler. But Vectrin is another man-made fiber, which is spun from liquid crystal polymer. And it's known to be 2 times stronger than Kevlar. So Vectrin is about 5 to 10 times stronger than steel.
Whoa.
It's just crazy to me that these like exist.
When you hear steel fiber, you're like, okay, surely like it's not going to get better than that.
Yeah. Literally.
And then Kevlar is 5 times better than that. And you're like, okay, well then surely like that's the top. Like we can't, but then it's like, nah, we got one more. We're going to keep going. At some point we're going to reach a peak where you're just totally fine no matter what. Like you have whatever this material is, if you've got a vest on it, you're good.
Yeah, literally. Okay, so we're about to get into some weird fibers, and then we're going to pass it over to Josh for what he learned on Reddit this week. This is just crazy to me. So this is a biosteel. Spider silk has inspired a material called biosteel, which is, okay, so this is the part that like really like mind boggles me. It is spider silk, but is produced by transgenic goats.
Yeah.
They're not spiders.
I have heard about this. I saw it on Reddit. That's how I, you know, this is how I hear about these crazy weird things, which, yeah, like you're thinking, oh, spider silk. Okay. Do they have a lab full of spiders?
Nope.
You know, nope. That's not what they're doing.
It is a goat, and they were genetically modified with genetic material from spiders. So they're spider goats.
Spider goat.
Spider goat does whatever spider goat does. Wow, that was a blast from the past.
yeah.
And they create a silk that can be extracted from their milk to make textiles such as bulletproof vests. Just like, to me, this is insane.
Very importantly, 20 times stronger than steel fiber. So we've already one-upped Vectrin with goat spider silk.
Goat spider milk silk.
Goat spider milk. We've made a vest with goat's milk, and it's pretty strong. That's what we're doing here.
I just can't. Like, I just, who said, let's put this in a goat and just see what happens? Like,
I mean, basically,
did the goat get bit by a spider, or like, what happened here? Is this Peter Parker, but in a goat?
This is...
Do we have Goatman now?
For anyone that's seen Into the Spider-Verse, and there's the character Peter Porker, who's a little pig, this is the not-so-known Spider-Goat.
They missed a opportunity there.
I think they did. Maybe it'll be in the next one. There's one coming up, but...
I'm going to send an email to the Spider-Man-verse and be like, Spider-Man. Hi... You missed an opportunity with the transgenic goat that is quite literally spider goat.
Make a spider goat. We want to see make a spider, spider goat.
I hate it so much because I love goats and this is just not it. Like, I hate spiders.
So they've taken the genetic material, the glands that produce silk in a spider and basically put them in a goat. And then that allows them to harvest the silk comes out in their milk, and then they can just like basically strain it out of the milk to get a large amount. Because that's the thing. Like, I think I would assume this probably came about because they were harvesting it from spiders.
Yeah.
But you probably can't get that much from one spider.
No.
And so this was probably like a way they found that they could get a larger quantity, I guess.
So yeah, spider goat biosteel fibers, 20 times stronger than steel fibers. So there you go. Firearms and the armor. Bada bing, bada boom.
I can't wait for the inevitable future when someone's like, you know, oh, sweet vest. And you're like, oh yeah, it's goat's milk. It's from my goat. I went out and milked my goat and wove a vest out of it.
Oh my gosh. I wonder how much you have to milk the goat to get a vest.
Yeah, I wonder how, like what the output is on silk to milk. Yeah.
What's the ratio there?
Silk to milk ratio.
I just want to know who decided like, oh, this will work.
And like why goats?
Well, I mean, you had to pick something that squirts something out of its body. So it had to be so it had to be a goat or a cow or something, right? Could you have a chicken lay eggs that are full of silk?
I hate that. I don't like that at all.
Like,
you just like crack open an egg and it's just full of silk.
Yeah,
I wonder, I don't know. I feel like I'm going to have to do some research on it because I wonder if it's like something within the makeup of goat's milk or something that allows it to work better than maybe cow's milk or something like that. I don't know. If anyone out there has a spider goat, let us know.
Yeah, if you've got a spider goat, we would love to know. I also want to know how much like money, like what if I had a farm that had spider goats? Like, am I going to make more money by, like, giving people the silk?
I would imagine it's probably more profitable than your average goat farm, yeah.
They have function disorders and ecological problems.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I mean, you inserted an extra gene to it, so. Yeah, I actually had a goat come to my 16th birthday because I love goats. And one came to my 16th birthday because my friend had a goat and they brought it to my house. And so there was a goat running around for my 16th birthday. It was awesome.
Was it like one of the little goats?
It was a big goat, but it also started peeing on everything. And like that was funny. Oh. Yeah. But I just like carried the goat around with me. It was awesome. It was a big goat. I'll have to find a picture. I'll see if my mom can dredge up a picture of me and the goat. Anyway, what did you learn on Reddit this week now that we've covered firearms, goats,
and the spider goats?
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to top spider goats. Here's the thing. This was a pretty big mind altering, life shattering revelation that I stumbled upon.
All right. Let me buckle in really quick.
Yeah. Really just batten down the hatches. And,
all right.
And
science pals. Get ready. I'm ready.
So you know how fingerprints are a thing?
Yes.
And how law enforcement uses those fingerprints to identify you. Basically, the question was posed on Reddit of how did people prove that fingerprints are unique?
It's a very valid question.
It's one of those things where I feel like you just hear it and you just go along with it.
You're like, yeah, okay.
You're like, I guess that makes sense. But basically, the long and short of it, there's a very long article on the Smithsonian Magazine about it.
Uh-huh.
They didn't. No one, there's...
Wait,
basically,
what?
Basically, 125 years ago, a long time ago, people looked at them and said, these are unique. We're just going to go with that. And everyone went with that. There is not proof that they are actually unique.
So basically, the only reason they quote unquote say that is because if they have prints in the system, they can track it back.
Yes. From what I can see here is that the way fingerprints are created when you are a forming child in the womb.
A blob, a potato.
When you're a blob, the way they are created is very much like conducive to having a unique fingerprint. Like it's like a very much random experience to create them.
Interesting. So, how do they form? So, do you know?
So basically they form, I don't have like an in-depth explanation here.
That's okay.
But they form basically by like pressure on the fingers when you're in the womb, and that causes ridges and peaks on your fingers, and that's kind of what develops
weird
the print. And because of that, like it is a very random process. So the fingerprint, yeah. The fact that people think they are unique is not surprising, and it's like not a bad thought process.
No, it's not. It's a random thing, so they would be random.
So what? It's like, yeah, like why would they not be unique? The yeah. only thing this article is saying is that it has not been like 100% proven that they are unique.
I believe that.
That has just been a notion that is then people just ran with it. They just took it and ran
That's
with it. I'm like, okay, well,
crazy.
They're unique.
That's so crazy. I did not know that.
And also because if people were to be like, wait, actually, they're not unique, that would open up like this whole can of worms with the legal system.
Yeah. That'd be a really bad. Them. I feel like they're only reliable if like the print is already in the system. But also I feel like that's such like an old school thing to like get the print from whatever it is. But I also can see it being helpful.
I would also be curious, like anyone out there. I know we had that one cop write in that he listened.
Yeah, Mr. Cop Friend.
Anyone out there, like I would be curious if, because I think from what I know, like there's other ways to, like the, you know, DNA is a huge thing now.
Body fluids.
Yeah, like bodily fluids, like matching up people at a crime scene. I think there's more of that rather than like taking prints. So I wonder if it's like already being phased out or something. So yeah, like I write in, anyone out there, let us know. I'd be curious if this is something that people are becoming more aware of, and maybe they're phasing it out in lieu of other things. Speaking of that,
ooh, what?
At the bottom of this Smithsonian article, there actually is a little kind of graphic showing different ways they identify people and how accurate they are. If you had to guess, if I were to say compare your hand versus your ear, which would be more accurate in using to identify you? Which is the more accurate method?
Oh, man. I want to say ear because this feels like a trick question.
You know me too well.
I know.
It's the
I'm going to go, weird. Why?
From what I, let's see, reading this, scientists use sound waves and light rays to map the shape and size of your outer ear. And then basically, like that's, it, like it's basically just like, it's kind of like a fingerprint, but it's your ear.
That's weird.
And it is apparently more accurate than your hand.
I feel like that's so wild.
So there you go.
Next time I go to do something illegal, cover my ears.
Cover up those ears. Gotta cover. Yeah, you. I mean, absolutely. Cover up those ears. You know.
Cover the ears. Oh my gosh.
Keep those things bottled up. Wouldn't want those getting out. That is what I learned on Reddit. Fingerprints, maybe not as unique as you once thought.
That is so wild. I also heard, I thought you were going the direction of like your tongue print. Because I've heard like everyone's tongue print is unique as well. Unique. But I like yours better, knowing that, like, you kind of myth busted us today. I kind of like that. That was awesome.
Well, you know, I try to come in and shake it up.
I love it. But I love this segment. Like, it's like my favorite.
It's a fun one. I like coming in with some just random crap to shake it up. But like I said, it's not necessarily saying, like, I don't want anybody writing in and whatever. Like, it's not saying that they're not. It's just that it's not, like, no one is 100% said, which, like, I don't even know how they would say 100% they are 100% unique.
I think the only way they could say that is if they had every single person's fingerprint.
Yeah, or like an exact idea of the formation and like process that, like, maybe through that you could extrapolate that, okay, then everyone it makes would be unique. I don't know, but
right, it's just very interesting and curious. I look at fingerprints all the time. I don't know why. Maybe it's because my hands are like perpetually sweaty because my hyperhidrosis. So like I can always see the cracks, and like whenever I touch things, my fingerprints are always left behind everywhere. So I'd be a really bad criminal. But like I'm always looking at my fingers.
You're all over the place. Your fingerprints are everywhere. So
yeah, they're literally everywhere. It's fine. Oh well. Be how it be.
Oh well.
Well, science pals, there you have it. We learned about firearms, spider goats, bulletproof vests, bullet resistance vests, fingerprints. I hope your minds are as blown as ours, because this was one of my favorite episodes. I don't know why. You just had good energy today.
Good, yeah, it had some good, interesting facts in this one for sure.
Oh man, spider goats. I love it. Spider goats.
That's the high for me right there, is spider goats. So
I think the fingerprints were the high for me.
Oh, nice. Because
now I can just, if that ever happens, I'll be like, you're a liar. Those are not my prints. You don't know it's 100%.
You don't know. You don't actually know.
You don't know anything, sir.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, man.
Yeah. No one, that's awesome. No one commit a crime and then cite this podcast as a reason you're innocent. Please. Don't do that.
Yeah. We'll just be like, we don't know what you're talking about. Remove episode.
Yeah, I'll be like... I didn't, that's not, I don't know.
All right, science pals. Well, we will see you next week for another podcast. We're so excited. Thank you to everyone that has listened, left a rating and review. It helps the podcast more than you know. And if you have a topic, send us an email at randomtheorypod@gmail.com or leave it. Sorry, Josh, I stole your line. Or where else can they leave it?
They can leave it on the Spotify Q&A. They can comment it on YouTube. They can leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. They can do all the things. We'll see.
All the things. And please share this with anyone that you think would find this fascinating, find this topic interesting. Share the podcast with them. We're trying to grow the Science Pals and build an awesome community of like-minded individuals. So send it to your friends. We appreciate you guys. We love the Science Pals, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.